The praise, dominion, and majesty belongs to the Lord, and only to the Lord belongs the praise. And thank you today for joining me. And I want to say thank you for being my wonderful partners. I really mean that. I truly mean it with all my heart. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for being my wonderful partners, being with me, a lot of you, every single day, faithful, and you're the best. Truly, you're the best. All right, today I have a blessed teaching, how to maintain fullness. You know, I'm going to show you from the scriptures how easy it is to lose fullness. I mean, like fullness in the spirit. So I'm going to show you from the Word of God, what do we do to stay full of the Spirit, full of the power of God, continually walking in the Spirit, especially in these days. We need it so much. But first, I want to say mahalos to Jerusha and to Beth, to Nahar, to Andrews. And just let me know where you're from, please. I'd like to read that too. Hello to Sandra. Hello to Joan. And please tell your friends, this is such an important teaching that I'll be teaching today and tomorrow on how to maintain fullness in the Spirit. It took me a lifetime to learn what I'll be teaching today, so you're going to really be blessed. Okay, hello to Frank. Hello to Sugi. Hello to Chris from Uganda. Hello to Uma Yuvaraj. What a beautiful name, wow. Hello to Sonia. Hello to Marilyn. Hello to Almi. Hello to Adango. That's perfect me, Lord Jesus. Oh, that is my prayer too. Perfect me, Lord Jesus. I give you praise. Hello to Johanna. Hello to Rajesh, and Marilyn, and Nahar. Let's pray for my family. We will today. Lord, in fact, right now, Lord, I pray for your people who need miracles in their homes and families. Grant that prayer be answered in the sweetest name of Jesus. And God's people said, amen and amen. All right, I'm going to begin teaching. So let's go to the book of Acts. I want to show you, first of all, how the church walked in fullness and then things began to go wrong. It says, and in those days, when the number, this is Acts 6 from verse 1 to verse 8. In those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. The Grecians were the Hellenistic Jews who were believers, of course, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitudes of the disciples unto them and said, is it not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables? Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now watch this amazing time of fullness. And the word of God, increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So here we see the church experiencing fullness. But, you know, experiencing fullness does not lock us into a place of spirituality and effectiveness from which a person cannot lapse. In other words, we can lose it. So this amazing revival taking place, where it says that God's word increased, the number of the disciples increased greatly, even priests had gotten saved who had fought the Lord Jesus himself, now they're into salvation. Signs and wonders were breaking loose everywhere. But it says in the scriptures that even though people can be endued with power, at that moment, people who are endued with power become a great target to the enemy, because they become a greater threat to his kingdom. So, experiencing fullness of the Spirit does not lock us into a place of spirituality and effectiveness from which we can't, you know, lapse or lack. So we have to redouble our efforts now. Because, see, the enemy is going to redouble his efforts to bring us down. We have to redouble our efforts to stay full. Now, it is very sad but true that believers can, and in some cases do, lose the power and the fullness of God. It's happened. It's happened in Bible times, which I'm going to show you. It also happened in history. Let's look at King David, because he was afraid of that. David was afraid of losing what God had done in his life when he prayed in Psalm 51 and verse 11. What was he afraid of? Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. He was afraid to lose. Because don't you remember, that's what happened to Samson? That's what happened to Saul. I mean, think about Samson. In the book of Judges, and you need to really see this, because this is very important that we see like reality. In Judges 14, verse 6, he had such power, such fullness. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. He rent him as would have a goat. That's a lion. He tore that lion like it was a goat. And he had nothing in his hand. Think about the power of God on that man. And just two chapters later, in chapter 16, you all remember what happened to him in verse 20 and 21, where he lost the power of God. Now, Delilah says, the Philistines are on you. He awoke out of sleep. He said, I'm going to shake myself like I did the other times, not realizing the Lord left him. And later he became a slave, blind slave to the Philistines. Think about Saul. The power of God so strong on him that in 1 Samuel, and we have to remember that when, you know, what is important to God is not how we start. It's how we finish. How we go on and finish. That's what's important to God. I remember a man of God telling me one day, he says, the last thing people remember about a service is the way you finish that service, not the way you began that service. They all remember the end of it, not the beginning of it. And that's just the way it is with God. God does not look at the way you start. He looks at the way you finish. Now, look what happened to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10. And you know what is so scary? Is if you finish wrong, all the good things you did will be forgotten and dismissed. That's what it says in the book of Ezekiel. That if a man falls after he starts right, God will forget all the right and see all the wrong. That's frightening, huh? So let's finish right, all of us. Let's finish well. So 1 Samuel 10, in verse 5 and on, you see him anointed, walking among the prophets. The Spirit of the Lord came on him, because Samuel told him this would all happen. He said, you'll be turned into another man. It's incredible when you see the anointing on him. It says the Spirit of God came upon him in verse 10. He prophesied. What happened now in 1 Samuel 16:14? Well, I think you all remember, but you need to see it again though, because he lost everything. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. He goes from being anointed and prophesying to a demon now in him. The Holy Spirit leaves him, and a demon now is in him. Later, he goes seeking a witch because God left him altogether, and he died. Wow, what a way to end. Horrible, isn't it? So how do we stay strong? Well, let's keep talking. Just because someone has received the power of God, it doesn't mean that their character will stay holy. And I'm going to say it again, because this is what we're talking about here. Samson received the power of God, ended up sleeping with women, losing everything. Saul receives the power of God, ends up disobeying and rebellious. A demon comes in now, he's possessed, ends up dead after he saw a witch and talked to a witch. How sad. You see it today. People who start well and strong and anointed end up in a disastrous life, running around with women and whatever else, and losing everything that God had given them. I knew a pastor, an evangelist, who was a mighty anointed man. When he was dying, he saw demons coming to get him. And he was screaming. And people who were there told me, he was screaming, they're coming to get me, they're coming to get me. That's really scary stuff, you know. So I'm talking about things we all need to know. How do we stay strong? Think about the church in Galatia experienced fullness and ended up in legalism. So Paul had to write the book of Galatians to say, who has bewitched you? What's wrong with you? Or the church in Corinth, who began with fullness and ended up in carnality. Think about churches in the Bible who started so strong, like the Galatian church or the church in Corinth, ending up in legalism, one ending up in carnality. Well, because it's possible to lose fullness. I'm going to show you from the Word how easy it is to lose fullness. That's why we have to be on our guard, and I want you to be on your guard, and I will show you how. Now, you have to stay with me through tomorrow, because I can't do all this in one day. This is a very important teaching. We can't just rush it right through, you know. So, let's look at Galatians, and I want you to pay attention now to what we're going to read. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that now you are made perfect by the flesh? So these are Christians who began in the Spirit, who obeyed the truth, because it says so in verse 1. who saw the power of the crucifixion of Jesus change their life. The power of the cross changed their life. Who received the Holy Spirit by hearing the word of faith. And then Paul asks, are you so foolish, verse 3, that you begin in the Spirit and now you end up in the flesh? What's wrong with you? Well, it's possible. Or you think about the church in Corinth. Now, I know you may want all the answers today. It's not going to happen. I'm going to give you the answers one at a time, but I got to show you how easy it is to slip into the old life. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, here's a church who began with magnificent power, and I'll show it to you in just a second. But here's what happened in 1 Corinthians 1, 11. It hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there be contentions among you. And later we see not only contentions, but look at chapter 3 in verse 1, 2, and 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, unto babes. I fed you with milk, not with meat, because you're not able to bear it. And now he says, and you're carnal, because you have envying and strife and divisions. Yet at one time that church had a blessedness. They walked in power, because it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is what happened in their beginning. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in utterance, in knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, that you have come behind in no gift. These were saints who were so gifted, so anointed, waiting for the coming of the Lord. And that it says in verse 5, they were enriched in all utterance, in all knowledge. They really knew the Bible, these people. Think about starting with knowing the Word of God, the power of God, and now you're carnal again. Wow. I hope this is getting somebody's attention. So carnal that it says in chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1, it's reported commonly that there is fornication among you. These people weren't only carnal. They were, forgive me, they were sexually filthy. Fornication among you. And such fornication that is not even so named among the Gentiles. He says, you've gone so bad, you're even worse than the unbelievers. Chad is like shaking his head. He can't believe it's in there. Well, I'm sure you've read it. But think about it. In chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, he says, you are blessed, you've been enriched, you have such knowledge of the word, you're confirmed in Christ Jesus, and they were anointed and blessed with gifts. And now in chapter 5, I hear there's fornication among you. Besides division, they go from strong to weak, both and the church in Galatia. Okay. So let's begin by talking about how to maintain fullness. Listen now carefully. As we go on living, this is very powerful, so you can't miss it. As we go on living the Christian life, as we live, we receive more light. We receive more truth. So we have to walk in that greater light and in that greater truth to maintain what we got. May I say it again? Okay. Let's look at 1 John, because I want to show you, the scripture first that says in 1 John 1, and I'll repeat what I said because it's important. All right, let me say it and then I'll read the word. We as Christians, When we walk with God, we begin with little light. Watch this. We begin with a small amount of light, and then that light grows and grows and grows. So we have to keep walking in the greater light to maintain. If we stay with the little light we have, the enemy attacks us and can kill it. So our light has to grow. The truth in us has to grow for us to maintain the fullness. So God gives us a seed. God puts like a deposit in us of light and truth. Now he begins to slowly increase it in us. So when we as Christians go on living the Christian life, we receive more light. We receive more truth. Now we have to walk in that greater light and walk in that greater truth to receive and maintain fullness. So it says in verse 6, 1 John 1, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't know the truth. But if we walk in the light, meaning if we keep walking in the light we're in that God is giving us, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So we have to keep walking. So receiving must be followed by increasing. We have to increase what we receive. So God gives me more light, I walk in more light. God gives me more truth, I walk in more truth. So, it's not enough to receive. Now it has to increase inside of me. The renewal of the Spirit, please hear this is very important. The renewal of the Spirit is not a once and for all experience. We are renewed day by day, the Bible says. Day by day. So the day I miss is a disaster because I can go backwards. The day I miss praying, the day I neglect time with God. I remember Catherine Guman saying often the price of neglect is very high. So in 2 Corinthians 4:16, write this down. The price of neglect is very high. The day you neglect time with God, the day you neglect time in his word, the devil will get in there. Because that you've just opened a door then. So in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perisheth, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So renewal is a day by day experience. Now, I'm going to say one more thing, then we're going to go on tomorrow. There is no doubt that the church in Ephesus experienced amazing blessings when they began. We see it in Acts 19. That church became sealed with the Holy Spirit. Think about 12 men began that church, and they had revival so big it shook that whole part of the world. But when wrote Paul to them, he said, be filled or stay filled with the Holy Spirit. So stay in a state of fullness. So here in Acts 19, they begin the church in Ephesus with just a few men who had never heard about the Holy Spirit. A revival hits. It shakes that whole part of the world. Yet Paul has to write them and says, now listen. Just because you stayed filled, it doesn't mean you're going to stay full, because we all leak. So stay full now. So you have to be filled daily with the Holy Spirit. Because we're renewed daily, 2 Corinthians says, 4:16. We are renewed daily. And when you get renewed daily, then you're on the right track. So when the scripture uses filled, then I'm going to stop with this. When the scripture uses filled, it's emphasizing quality, not quantity. Meaning, now, not how much I have of the Spirit, but how much He has of me. That is what I stop today. We continue tomorrow. Because I want to talk about that. Like, how do I get to the place where He has more of me? Oh, hallelujah. Tell your friends that I'm talking about something that will save their life. And make sure they're watching tomorrow. You know, it's possible to slip and fall and lose all and end up in hell. It's possible. Many have. Many will. Because the Bible is very clear. They that endure unto the end will be saved. So, even though we are predestined, we have to cooperate with God to stay strong in the Spirit. You're talking to someone who knows what he's talking about, me. I could have lost everything in 2010. The worst years of my life, 2010, 11, and 12. I never want to go back to those years, never. And I don't want to get into it. But I'm a new man today. That Ben Hinn, I don't even recognize. But I made the decision to say no. I will not allow my life to be in danger like that. So, it's important now that we do what is right. We will finish right. We will finish strong. I've made that decision and I will not go back from it. That's why I don't watch TV anymore. None whatsoever. 4 years now of it. No way. I've never had such peace in my life. Never such joy in my life. Father, not one of them will fall. Not one of them will weaken. Not one of them will lack in these last days. Strengthen them, bless them, empower them to live the Christian life and maintain fullness in their walk. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now let me pray with you for your finances, because it's important, because God cares that you be blessed financially too and that you'll not lack. And I've been praying with you every day that God gives you property, because property secures tomorrow and property is promised to us in the Word. Jesus said you'll receive with persecution houses and land. Let's believe it. God didn't promise you money and gold and silver, because all that is in the land anyways. But He did promise you land, houses, meaning you can pay off your home, you can buy new homes and rent them out and secure your tomorrow. God wants to, He wants to bless you in that way. Father, I agree with each one of them that their future will be secure with power and blessings and prosperity. And yes, Lord, give them faith to believe for property. Give them faith to expect property and homes. And Lord, also bless them enough to pay off their home and pay off the condo and buy it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, now you know what to do. It's by giving you prove yourself faithful to the Lord so He can give you more. So when you say, Lord, I'm going to give to your work, you're also saying you can trust me with more. So do it now. You can sow on the screen. It says to you what you have to do. Do it right now. Do it on the platform you're watching me on, the network you're watching me on, or simply text BHM 45777. Bless.